Ladies and gentlemen, this is Wally Butterworth bringing you another program of the Christian Voters and Buyers League. This organization is a nationwide band of patriotic white Christian citizens who love America with a special reverence for the first great Americans who founded this republic and who gave us the legacy of a glorious constitution that is our modern Magna Carta, spelling out the individual liberties and freedoms of choice for every man. It is our purpose to return this government to operation under that constitution and to halt those now in power who are marching down the evil road of one world government under welfare state socialism. We're going to get these pesky racial minorities out of our hair. We're going to overcome them and take back our country. The subject of this broadcast, pocket-sized filth books of sex, smut, and degeneracy available to our children, rightfully branded the greatest single evil to our citizens, greater even than the brainwashed media of radio and television. This broadcast is specifically addressed to every Christian minister of every religious denomination. We don't hesitate for 1 minute to say to you, preacher, you're on the spot and it's your move. Let us indelibly place two thoughts in your minds while you listen to the facts brought out in this recording. One, the whole moral code of human society, the whole structure of decency and refinement in the relationship between male and female of the human race lies in the teachings of Christianity. Two, the moral fiber of that structure lies in the hands of ministers who are responsible for teaching and causing Christians to follow the precepts laid down by the founder of that Christian code. If that fiber is weak, the columns of the temple will surely fall. It is weak, and the columns are crumbling fast unless you go to work to reinforce them. Sex filth books. These small pocket-sized paperback editions can now be purchased from 35 to 95 cents at any corner drugstore, newsstand, department store, and believe it or not, they're on sale in thousands of chain food stores. The profits run into billions of dollars every year. As writings, they are completely worthless. They are deliberately written to arouse the basest animal passions in men and women. Their every page is filled with 3, 4, and 5-letter words of smut, profanity, and libertinism. They are designed to create harlots and prostitutes among teenage girls, rakes and drunken rapists among teenage men. They are an open defiance of Christianity, and as long as they are permitted to remain available to Christians, there will be an ever-shrinking number of Christians. These sex slime books are published, distributed, and sold 99% by anti-Christian Jews. The slippery knaves who peddle this garbage know that such profane matter cannot be sent through Uncle Sam's mails. It is all delivered by truck to every jobber and dealer clear across the country. And the pattern is the same in every city. The chief purveyor of this filth, for example, in Atlanta, is that anti-Christian character Morris Abram by name. He owns the Airport News Corporation, and is the lawyer who drew the charter for it and the Atlanta News Agency as well. And yet this despicable character was appointed by a former mayor to head a committee to clean up vice and crime. The Morris Abramses do not clean up vice when it brings in millions, and they don't clean up crime when 90% of it is committed by niggers whose votes are purchased by local, state, and national candidates for political office. Perhaps that is why Mr. Kennedy has honored this destructive creature, and now he has recently joined the questionable law firm of Adlai Stevenson. Pocket edition garbage finds its most elaborate displays in the book departments of our biggest department stores. Thousands of different titles can be had there. The language of Shakespeare is now replaced by such blasphemy as that of gutter rats like Ben Hecht, a lascivious libertine whose slime knows no limit, like the flow of lava from a volcano. Has anyone forgotten that on page 120 of his blasphemous book called A Jew in Love, we find the following words, quote, "The greatest mistake ever made was the crucifixion of Christ, but trust the mob to bungle. Had I been present, there would have been no crucifixion. I would have had him shipped to Rome and fed to the lions there. You can't make a savior out of mincemeat," unquote. And the opening paragraph of a more recent book, in fact, just last year, sold all over the world and banned there, with European editions carrying lascivious pornographic pictures of sex perversion, written by another degenerate Jew, begins with the line, "If I ever met Jesus Christ face to face, I'd spit in his eye." Mr. Christian Minister, you're allowing the destruction of Christianity and the complete moral breakdown of our youth to take place before your very eyes. Many of you derive satisfaction from an intelligent sermon delivered once a month on drunkenness and vice. And a minister wouldn't be human if he didn't feel a degree of satisfaction over his hard work on such a sermon. He takes a natural pleasure in the admiration of his church leaders and congregation. Indeed, we can say that in many cases such sermons are prayerfully inspired. And yet we've given no thought to the six or a dozen anti-Christian merchants, some of them hypocrite Christians within your parish boundaries, who are selling sermons of a different nature. 5,000 different books of sermons which endorse drunkenness and vice, mixed in with shots in the arm of morphine and heroin, marijuana smoking, and the teaching of the lessons of sex orgies in bed with any tart. Your competitors, the Jews, don't peddle their wares once a month as you do, or even once a week. They peddle them 16 hours a day, every day of the year. We repeat, there are over 5,000 different titles to their sex book sermons, gentlemen. So who do you think is going to win the battle and the war with your congregations? You haven't got a chance. Let us tell you more about this muck literature. Unfortunately, most of you don't know a darn thing about it, because preachers would feel embarrassed going around thumbing through sex racks, inspecting books and pornographic comics and pictures. And we feel sure that the Shylock merchant is too clever to reach under the counter and sell you any nude pictures or even movies of sexual acts of perversion. Reverends, you can find a way to duck out of this problem right now by labeling this broadcast anti-Jewish, or as the Jews dishonestly call it, anti-Semitic. It sure is anti-Jewish, and we are proud to say so, for they alone are guilty. By actual check and tabulation, not only by the Christian Voters and Buyers League, but by such dependable newspapers as Common Sense, the world's largest anti-communist newspaper published at Union, New Jersey, we have irrefutable proof that not 95 or 96%, but 99% of all this filth is published and distributed by followers of the greatest of all sex smut books, the Jewish Talmud. And we can tell you that 90% of it all is sold by Jews in their little pigsty stores, even though they have graduated into department stores. The other 10% is not sold by renegade Christians, but by practicing members of many of your congregations. We suggest that every one of you reverend ministers and every listener to this recording write to Mr. Condy McGinley, the editor of Common Sense at Union, New Jersey, and ask him to mail you two copies of that newspaper, editions number 337 and 338, entitled The Pornographic War on America, directed by students of the Talmud. It is in two parts. In them, Mr. McGinley lists over 100 publishing houses printing these vile smut and sex filth books. He names the actual executives of every firm, often listing as many as 7 or 8. You can't find a Christian name among them, hardly with a spyglass. They are all morally leprous Jews. Greater than any other evil thing to corrupt the minds and morals of children, greatest of all as a destroyer of the youth of this nation, are these vile pornographic books. And to sit idly by without lifting a finger to abolish them is unthinkable among prudent men and women. You mustn't feel offended, Reverend Sirs. It is not your fault that this paper sewage has flooded the nation like a plague. But it is your fault that it flows unchecked within the confines of your respective congregations. And we're now going to tell you how to get rid of it. This job is more the duty of a minister of the gospel than of a judge or lawyer of the courts, or of a doctor or teacher in the public schools. There is an endless number of cases where crooked lawyers, crooked judges, crooked courts, and crooked psychiatrist quacks have protected these filth merchants. It is much the same as lascivious movies, which are not 1/100th as powerful in their impact on the juvenile mind. These filth merchants are hailed into court, and with a smirk on their hooked noses and a wink at a friendly judge who has just been paid $500 outside the court, they pay a token fine of $25 in the court and go gleefully on their way, reaping the millions. They're delighted over the publicity from co-conspirator Jewish-controlled press wire services and television networks. The more the book is attacked, the more thousands of copies they sell. No, gentlemen, the answer is not in the courts. It lies in the churches and with ministers and congregations of those churches. The new twist on these sex books embraces the race mongrelization racket, as well as the smut, vice, and crime. There are dozens of filth books showing the eagerness of white women to have their sex experiences with black niggers of the Martin Luther King or Satchmo Armstrong breed found in American harlems, or with the headhunter boil him in the kettle variety right from the African jungle, all from the same tribe. You ministers would do well to read the 1953, 54, and 55 yearbooks of the American Jewish Congress if you want to see this program all confirmed in writing. You will also do well to learn there that the Order of B'nai B'rith, the Anti-Defamation League, and the communist-led NAACP are all one and the same Jewish organization. Two of these sex books were recommended home reading for students in the fashionable Arlington private schools in Atlanta until removed by an irate father whose daughter attends that school. A slippery, sneaky superintendent, when pinned down, admitted that they were recommended reading under parental supervision. One book, wherein a Negro is having sex relations with a white girl, expresses the hope to have a baby by her illegitimately. Of course she doesn't mind. In the book. Maybe somebody knows parents who'd sit down and read such a book with a refined teenage white daughter. We don't know of any such. And if any degenerate teenager shows up at home with such a book, it'll be found hidden under the mattress and not in the hands of a mother or father. Most lascivious of all is a book called The G.D. White Man, and the title G.D. is spelled out on the front cover of the book. The scene is laid in Congo, Africa. A beautiful blonde, drunken white mistress enters the sleeping room of her black family chauffeur above the garage. This choice passage is described on the inside cover in the following words, quote, Suddenly her mouth opened and went all sort of slack, as if hungry for flesh. I put my mouth on hers, and she worked it with her lips, her tongue, and made those noises in the throat. And suddenly a bomb seemed to burst between our bellies. From that time on, more than an hour, not a word was spoken in that room, just noises. End of quotation. Now do you see how far it has gone? The racket is to find an editor from a major newspaper and pay him to endorse this garbage. In this case, it is the now corrupted Chicago Tribune. Says the editor, quote, "A brutal book. If this one is not for you, stay away from it. You are warned." Unquote. That is a paid endorsement of forbidden fruit to attract you to the book. It is an old Jewish trick. We can only say that if Colonel Robert McCormick, the former owner of the Chicago Tribune, were still alive, that book editor and the managing editor of the Trib would have been kicked down every flight of stairs of the Tribune Tower to the street. And it's a mighty high tower out there in Chicago. In addition to three different murders of white men committed by this black chauffeur hero, his dope peddling and robbery, theft, and blackmail as head of a gang, there is pointed out all the tricks of sex taught him by black prostitutes. We repeat for the third time, there are over 5,000 different titles to these pocket-sized books. Reverend sirs, it is indeed your move. It's time you took advantage of the full power of your robes of office and of the holy book, which is your strength. In the matter of religion, you surpass the role of leader of your flock. You almost assume the role of a king. You must then this very day awaken to the consciousness of your kingship, your stewardship, and literally grab your horse and ride. You have too long procrastinated in the biggest job of all. We cannot refrain from quoting you the saying of glorious Benjamin Franklin, not too strong a practitioner, but a firm believer, when he said, "He who resolves to mend tomorrow resolves not to mend today." Here now is the plan of battle. What a wonderful thing it'll be for the United States if every minister of every community were to don his newest robes of office. Take a strong teenage boy by one hand and a sweet teenage girl by the other, and followed by the representatives of their congregations, march into every store in the vicinity of that church. Show that merchant money changer the marked passages in sample sex books, and tell him that if every smut book is not removed within 1 hour and never again sold in that store, not one Christian church member will ever enter again for any purpose whatsoever. Tell him you and your teenage congregations will picket him around the clock. The citizens, the police, and the courts will applaud you once they learn the glorious news of your mission. A full day's holiday with traffic at a standstill is a cheap price to pay for such a victory. No person, newspaper, or group, even the enemy, will dare to criticize you, and you will render an unforgettable service to the American people, and believe us when we say you will then be worthy of your uniform. Now let's forget this tomorrow stuff and go to work. The decent teenagers that these books are meant to corrupt will prove to be your finest workers. This tragic plague will be wiped out in your neighborhood in less than a week. It must be precision coordinated to fall on the same day, and it will spread across this country like a prairie fire. With only a shade of vigilance, it will never return, for its return will mean total destruction of the business of any filth merchant and that bird knows that right now. The Christian Voters and Buyers League is at your service. We do not ask anybody's membership unless that person approves of our goals and wants to join us. We are not in competition with any church or any other group. Our principal task is to force these money changers to return our country to strict adherence to the Constitution of this Republic. We have no political axe to grind, and once your victory march begins, we shall withdraw. We leave you with this final thought. Today's youth is tomorrow's America. And by whatever route he may choose to travel, the theme of every good man's dream is heaven after earth. The Reverend Dr. Russell H. Conwell said that in connection with his memorable sermon to youth called Acres of Diamonds. The theme of my dream is heaven. That road cannot be traveled through slime and stench and wickedness. We repeat, preacher, let's go to work and clean it up. And white man, it is a glorious step in taking back our country. This is Wally Butterworth. Goodbye, all.